This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Oh, boy. Maryland, Denton, is a Final Four contender. I said it. I've got some info to back that assertion up, which I will get to shortly. That was Derek Queen last night, the best freshman Maryland has had since Joe Smith. Good morning, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day. Denton, you're getting married in 2 months. Hopefully you have done something nice or have something nice planned for your fiance. You good on that front?
We celebrated Valentine's Day last weekend because my future mother-in-law is coming into town this weekend. So we already got that situated.
Okay. Well, did you do that at home or New Orleans?
It was the day after I'd gotten back. That Saturday was dedicated to her and celebrating Valentine's Day.
Gotcha. All right. Well, happy Valentine's Day, everybody. By the way, for those of you who like kind of weather updates from me occasionally when there is a storm in the distant future, remember what Doug Kammer, in the middle of our segment on Tuesday before the storm we had Tuesday night, and he was looking at one of the models, Denton, he was looking at the Euro, actually, and he just kind of, you know, stopped in the middle of our conversation. He was wowed by what he was seeing. Well, next Wednesday, as in this coming Wednesday, as in 5 days from now, that would be, there's a chance for a major, not a minor, a major East Coast snowstorm slash blizzard. Whether or not we're going to partake in it depends on sort of the track. Right now, overnight, some of the models showed us getting feet of snow, not inches of snow, feet of snow. Now, it looks like New York and Boston may be, in this particular storm, in a better situation for those of you that want this snow and want the big, you know, major blizzard. We haven't had one since 2016. But a lot of agreement on all of the models for Wednesday. It would be kind of the Tuesday night, Wednesday into Thursday time frame. Of course, these things change all the time, and by late today, it may show the storm just going out to sea. But all the weather people, which I follow, they are getting rather fired up, and Doug was on this when we had him on Tuesday, and I know he is rather excited. He texted me yesterday. I've not heard from him after the overnight model runs, but if you are into big, big snowstorms, there is the possibility of one mid-next week. Again, could miss us, or we could get just the lighter portion of it, and New York and Boston could get crushed. Or it could go right out to sea. You never know with these things. But usually the big ones, like we had in 2016, like we had in 2010, 2009, December of 2009, they get kind of figured out early. And that's what's happening right now. So on Monday, if it's still there and it's still a possibility, we'll have Doug on the show. to talk about it. Last night was a hell of a basketball game. Did you watch it, Denton?
I did, in the black uniforms for the Terps. They looked awesome last night. Queen was outstanding.
Yeah, they were black at home against Rutgers on Sunday, who was wearing red. And last night was kind of a black-red thing. Let me just tell those that may care about this. You may have heard about this. Typically, this becomes an issue when the NFL, back when they were doing the, you know, the colors Thursday night games, you know, where both teams wore dark jerseys. So there was a game in which Buffalo had red on and the Jets had green on. For anybody that knows anything about color blindness, and I actually have three sons, all of whom have some level of color blindness, it's greens and reds and browns that are usually the issue. And the game on Sunday, I was watching with my middle son, and Maryland was wearing black and Rutgers red, and he had a hard time distinguishing the players. So I don't think a lot of thought is given to that by teams and television. But remember, it happened, I'm pretty sure it was Jets-Bills maybe 6-7 years ago on a Thursday night. And, you know, that's when you hear about it, when there's an NFL game, not when there's a college basketball game. And people were saying, I'm colorblind. I have no idea which team is which team. And that was kind of the case last night. Anyway, I digress. What a basketball game last night. I mean, that was an entertaining game. Nebraska was favored last night over Maryland, who was ranked. Nebraska had won four in a row coming into the game last night. They had worked their way off the tournament bubble and into the field in almost every sort of bracket projection that was out there. And they're a good team. They were favored by a point and a half last night at home. They've got a great home environment in Lincoln. The game was really about Maryland's ability to build up leads and then watch Nebraska roar back on multiple occasions, but never quite get there. Maryland's biggest lead was 11 early in the second half. Nebraska came back, cut it to 4. Then Maryland extended the lead back to 9 with about 5.5 minutes to go. And Nebraska came back and cut the lead to 2 with 2 minutes to go. And then there were 3 straight possessions where Nebraska cut a 4-point lead to 2 and Maryland had to answer. And on 3 straight possessions, they delivered. Gillespie on a driving, playmaking reverse layup. Rodney Rice, Selton Miguel, shot makers, all of them. 3 for 3 with the game on the line. Terps win it. They close it out at the free throw line. Win it 83-75. Really good college basketball game last night. So a few takeaways for you Terps fans out there. And I know that a lot of you are starting to pay attention to this team because this is clearly the best team Maryland's had since 2020. You know, the Cowan, Stick Smith, Aaron Wiggins, Daryl Morcell team was a legit 2 or 3 seed as the Big Ten regular season champs, and they had a chance. Had there been a tournament in 2020, but there wasn't because of COVID, they had a chance to go very deep in that tournament. They were built for tournament play with an outstanding senior point guard, a big that was blowing up in Jalen Smith, and Aaron Wiggins and Daryl Morcell, who was the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. This is the best team they've had since that team. In many ways, it might be a little bit better because of Derek Queen, their freshman, and I'll get to him in a moment. Maryland, for those of you just starting to pay attention to college basketball, has one of the best starting fives in the country. That's not an exaggeration. Last night, all 5 starters scored in double figures. In fact, Maryland starters scored every single point for them. They won the game 83-75. All 5 of their starters scored in double figures and scored all 83 of their points. They had no points off the bench. Now, they were missing one of their best bench players, Gapare, who's had the flu the last 2 games. So they need him back, and they'll get him back. But 83 points from the starters. Maryland last night, for the 4th time this year, had all 5 of its starters finish in double figures. Only Kentucky nationally has had more games, 5 games, in which all 5 starters have scored in double figures. Right now, Maryland's starting 5 is the highest scoring starting 5 in the country. They're also, by the way, very good defensively. But they have, what makes them good, they have three shooters who are also all playmakers. So they got three guys in Gillespie, Rice, and Selton Miguel who can all shoot the three at dangerous levels. And they're all, especially Rice and Gillespie, they are really good playmakers off the dribble. So when they get people running at them to try to close them off and get them off the three-point line, they are able to make plays as scorers or passers. Gillespie in particular as the point guard, one of the better point guards in the country right now. So Maryland's starting five is outstanding. It is national championship caliber starting five. Now, I'm not going to call them a national championship team. I haven't seen enough of college basketball at this point. I've watched a lot of it the last 2 weeks, and we're going to see a game tomorrow, Auburn and Alabama, 1-2. And there are more athletic teams than Maryland. I don't know how many teams are as skilled as Maryland, but they have three guards, all of whom who can shoot it and playmake, and then they've got two bigs who are dominant at times on the post, and by the way, are playmakers as well. So number one, Maryland is a Final Four contender in part because of their starting five. It is legit elite. Number two, Derek Queen is Maryland's best freshman since Joe Smith. I put that out on Twitter last night, and I know a lot of you would say Mello Trimble. Mello was phenomenal as a freshman. There's no doubt. Joe Smith is a top 10 pick. You know, top 15, worst case. He has solidified himself as one of the most skilled big men in America. Not for his class, for any class. And he's going to be a lottery pick in the NBA draft pick, an NBA draft in June. 24-11 last night for Derek Queen. He has... he's got all the skill, right? He's not a dominant athlete. You know, he's 19 years old or whatever he is, so he's not even filled out physically, but he is a large man. He's a large young man, and he's got great hands. He's got great feet. He can face. He can shoot. He can post. He can drive. He's gotten better defensively. He is a phenomenal rebounder. Last night, 24-11. 6-for-6 from the free throw line, 9-for-11 from the field. On Sunday against Rutgers, against, you know, two other super high draft picks, Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey. Ace Bailey left that game. I talked about his performance on Monday. It was jaw-dropping, 29-15-5. 29-15-5. He was the first freshman in the Big Ten to have that kind of a game in like 20-something years. He's really, really good. Thirdly, and this is where you have some legit data that's out there now in this Maryland basketball team. So most of you, I think, are familiar with the KenPom numbers, the Ken Pomeroy numbers. They are advanced statistics measuring college basketball teams. And Maryland right now overall in KenPom is 16 in the country. But they are the 16th ranked offensive efficiency team and the 22nd ranked defensive efficiency team. So College Basketball Report at CBK Report put this out last night. Since 2001, 96% of national champions have had a top 21 KenPom offense. Maryland's at 16. 91% of national champions since 2001 have had a top 31 KenPom defensive efficiency rating. Maryland's at 22. They are currently one of nine teams in America to have top 21 KenPom offensive numbers and top 31 defensive numbers. The other teams are Auburn, who's number one in the country, Florida, who's number three in the country, Duke, who's number three or five, depending on which bowl, in the country, Arizona, Texas Tech, Houston, Iowa State, Illinois, and Maryland. Those are the nine teams that fit that criteria right now. Here's my one pushback on my assertion that Maryland is a Final Four contender. is a couple of things. Number one, they don't have any bench scoring right now. Does it matter as much in the NCAA tournament when the timeouts are longer and you get more time to rest? Maybe not. But foul trouble has been a problem for Maryland in losses. You know, especially if Queen and Gillespie and or Reese get in foul trouble. So one and done, anything can happen. We understand that to begin with, right? One and done. But Maryland is right now a team that is reliant on its starting five for scoring. Now, do they have guys that can score off the bench? Kapari's the one guy. He's been ill the last two games. They need him a little bit more to probably be a guy that can get you eight, at least six, eight off the bench. Deshaun Harris-Smith is not a scorer. Maryland fans, you know that. Deshaun Harris-Smith gets out there. He's a rebounder. He's a defender. He tries hard. I like his attitude given where he is right now based on what we thought he would be a year ago, right? He's been upbeat and he's been ready to go. He's just not capable of being a consistent offensive player. In fact, he's not confident at all offensively. You see that when he plays. So Maryland's lack of depth, scoring depth, they've got defensive depth. They don't have scoring depth. Makes them vulnerable in a one and done because of potential foul trouble to key players. That's, you know, can you win four games in a row to get to the final four when you have literally no scoring off your bench? We'll see. Number two is, you know, they are a team with, they're gelling, and this is not that much different than a lot of teams in America. I get it, you know, with the portal. But this is their first run together, and it might be their last run together. But basically, of the five starters, the four of them are brand new to the team. And they have gelled, and they do fit together. Kevin Willard did an excellent job in the portal. He found shooters. He found guys that could space the floor because they're shooting, and they fit together perfectly, and they really fit together with the two bigs. Remember one of the preseason concerns all of us had. How are Derek Queen and Julian Reese going to play together? Oh, they play together just perfectly. By the way, how about the improvement from Julian Reese? Even he now can face and take somebody off the dribble and playmake. He had some excellent passes last night. Best Terps team since 2020. Best freshman, Derek Queen, since Joe Smith since Joe Smith came in 94. Mello's close. Maryland's had some great freshmen over the years, obviously. But in terms of a play, Joe Smith ended up, you know, after his sophomore year being the number one pick in the draft, he was the freshman of the year nationally. Derek Queen certainly right now has a chance. God, there are a ton of freshmen in the Big Ten, but I would imagine he's the front runner, maybe barely over the kid from Illinois. I think the Lithuanian kid from Illinois. Is he Lithuanian, Ukrainian, whatever he is? He's a top five, top 10 projected pick as well. But he's got a chance to be the freshman of the year, and the Terps are fun to watch. Really fun to watch. I guess bench, and then I think an overly athletic team, which you could potentially face, you know, in the second round of the tournament. You know, I think Maryland's got a chance to work their way into a top four seed at this point. They play three straight games at home. It's going to depend on how they finish. They've got six games left. If they can win four or five of the six they have left, four of them, you know, they're going to be in that 4-6 range seeding-wise. Right now, they're pretty much a six across the board and climbing. They've got a shot to be a top 16 seed. I don't think there's any doubt about it. But they'll have to play it out. They'll have to win these games. They play Iowa Sunday. Iowa, terrible defensively, but they can shoot the three. They just went to Rutgers and won. They still have Michigan State at home. They have to play USC, a pretty talented team at home. They have to go on the road to play Michigan. That will be a massive game in early March. Michigan right now leading the Big Ten. The Terps are going to really be upset with a couple of the losses, a couple of the games that they let get away this year. They had a 17-point lead last week at Ohio State, and blew it. They had a chance certainly against Northwestern on the road. And the game that they'll kick themselves for is Washington stinks and Maryland laid an egg. It's really the one egg they've laid this year. They just did not play well on their first trip to the West Coast. That was their first game. It was the night after New Year's. And they hadn't played like a legitimate game in about 2 weeks, and they played poorly. You know, you give them any one of those three games, and they're in the hunt for a Big Ten regular season title. As it is right now, they're three games back in fifth place, but loss column fourth, or no, yeah, I think loss column fifth, but they got a shot to climb. They're really good. Denton, you watched last night. You've watched the Terps. Am I exaggerating their potential when we get to March?
No, not at all. You know, the fact that their starting lineup is as strong as it is really crucial, especially in the month of March, but they have really great guard play. Like, it's not just Derek Queen. As you mentioned, you know, the strength of teams that win the NCAA tournament is all about the guards and having guys that can shoot, create their own shots, create shots for others. I think between Gillespie and Rice, like, Maryland has two really, really good options in those departments. And we've seen over the course of the season that if they get hot shooting-wise, they're nearly impossible to beat. You know, there are a lot of teams that can score really, really well. I mean, we are going to see with Alabama this weekend going up against Auburn. I mean, Alabama for like 3 years has been one of the best scoring offenses in college basketball, but Maryland is at least in the same conversation there. So I definitely think if they can stay healthy and keep that five-man rotation as tight as it is, I think they're going to be in a really good spot.
I think the kind of team that they will struggle with, maybe, and I say struggle, they don't look, when you watch them, like they're going to struggle against anybody offensively because of what you just said. They've got outstanding guard play, and they've got the ability with three of their three starting, you know, guards, Miguel, Gillespie, and Rice, to really space the floor. You've got to extend your defense, which leaves so much room in the middle of the floor for them to drive it, or for Queen to operate, or for Reese to get the ball in the post. They're very difficult to guard. But I think a team that is super athletic, 1-5, big, strong, athletic, 1-5, that can switch every single screen, that's the team that I'd like to see them up against and see how they fare. Because, you know, Gillespie's phenomenal, but he's not. I want to see a real physical guard against him, see what that looks like, see what it looks like with Derek Queen. Look, Maryland's played some good teams, no doubt. And in the Big Ten, you've got some really good bigs. The matchup that I can't wait to see, which is coming, we're going to get a couple of them, okay, for Maryland. They've got some entertaining games coming down the stretch here. But to see Danny Wolf match up against Queen in that game in Ann Arbor on March the 5th, that will be an entertaining matchup. Michigan's got two bigs. I don't think their guards are great. I think Maryland's guards are better. I think Maryland might have the best guards in the league. Well, no. Purdue's got the best point guard in the league. Braden Smith might be the best point guard in the nation. I mean, I haven't watched enough to say that. I've watched Braden Smith for 3 years now. He's playing. I watched that game against Michigan. He's incredible. How many point guards are better than Braden Smith in the country, Denton?
Not a lot. I mean, he has experience. He's played in really, really deep runs in March. So there's not a lot that are better than him right now.
Maryland's going to be favored in their final six games. They'll be favored in five of them. The at Michigan game, maybe not, but they've got three straight at home. Hey, Maryland fans, seriously, no reason not to have that building packed Sunday against Iowa, next week against SC, and the Michigan State game on February 26th. You know, they close with Northwestern at home. They've got Penn State on the road. Penn State's always been a problem for Maryland on the road, but they stink this year. They might be the worst team in the Big Ten this year. And that game against Michigan, the Michigan State and the Michigan games are going to be big time games in the Big Ten. They're fun to watch right now. If you're making that transition from football to basketball, understand Maryland's really good. I mean, they are currently 16 in KenPom, 17 in KenPom. They are 16 in the net rankings. So that would, you know, based on the net rankings, that would put them as a top four seed in the tournament when they get there. And I would imagine that the bracketologists that are going to update their fields here in the next day or two, Maryland's going to probably be a 5 or a 6. I don't think they're going to be any lower than that. If they are, they don't know what they're talking about. You can't be 16 in the net and 17 in KenPom at this point and having won 6 out of their last 7 and not be closing in on, you know, a top 4 seed in a region. We'll see. I mean, they've blown some games. You know, they blew the Ohio State game. They were the better team, and Ohio State's been pretty good, you know, over the last month, month and a half. They had a 17-point lead, blew that one. They blew a lead at Northwestern. So, you know, they're last night, I swear to God, watching that Denton, I was like, oh, God, they can't blow this game because they've just been too good for too much of the night to go home with a loss. And when Nebraska came back and closed that lead to 2, you know, they were one stop away from having the ball with a chance to take the lead. But Maryland came up huge down the stretch, shot 58% for the game.
I think the bench needs to be a little bit better if they want to make a deep run. Because I'm just looking at it, and they took 2 shots.
I know.
Like
they scored no points.
That needs to be better.
Lunardi just updated his bracketology. He's got Maryland as a 6 currently. He's got him as a 6.
My guess is that changes by Tuesday. I think, does he do it every Tuesday or does he do it every night?
I don't know.
I think he does it every week, so my guess is that that's going to change.
Yeah, I mean, Nebraska's in the field, still in the field even after their loss as a 10 seed. Maryland swept Nebraska after last night. Okay. Busy show today. Jordan DeJani from CBSSports.com will join us at 11. Tony Skin, the head coach of George Mason. They've won 10 in a row. He's going to join us at 11:35. Ben Standing at 12, and we will talk some college basketball with Robbie Hummel at 12:20. Last hour of the show, Robbie, excellent as an analyst. Last night he was in studio on the Big Ten Network, but Robbie Hummel is one of the best out there. I'm actually thinking at some point, Denton, this dude is going to be too big for the Big Ten Network. Don't you think?
He already is.
With what's respect.
He lives in Chicago, and the Big Ten Network is in Chicago.
Right.
But remember, during the pandemic, he was like ESPN's, I think he was number 2 or number 3 behind Billis when Vitale was out. And Walton was still in that space, but he was also doing stuff for the Bulls in Chicago. You know, when the time comes and it's time to elevate a new guy, Robbie Hummel is going to be the number 2 behind Jay Billis.
At ESPN.
Right now, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe in his contract he can work at a bunch of different outlets. Right now, my guess is eventually that is not going to be the case.
He's excellent. All right. How much better can Jaden Daniels get? Aaron Schatz, DVOA creator, says probably not a lot better in year 2. I'll tell you what he wrote next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
First of all, a lot of you weighing in on my assertion that Derek Queen's Maryland's best freshman since Joe Smith. A lot of you think Chris Wilcox, Vienna Jeff 60, Mark, Jason, all think that I missed on Wilcox. No, I didn't miss. Chris Wilcox was a really, really good player as a freshman, nowhere near what Derek Queen's been as a freshman. I don't even need to go back and look at the numbers to know that. Wilcox was absolutely the X factor on the national championship team in so many ways, okay? I loved Chris Wilcox. That was his sophomore year, remember, not his freshman year. Melo definitely is in the conversation. There's no doubt. The only reason I would say Derek Queen is Derek Queen is going to be a lottery pick. Melo at no point was ever going to be a lottery pick. Melo was so significant to the program, that class that came in, and that freshman year that he had. And look, if he doesn't get injured in that second round game in Columbus against West Virginia, I mean, that West Virginia team just bullied Maryland right out of the tournament. And if he didn't get injured in that game, I think the Terps go on, and I think that team's a Sweet 16 team. Obviously, the next year they went to the Sweet 16, lost to Kansas with Melo. And I hope Jay, you're kidding, saying Diamond Stone. Remember, he had 39 against Penn State. I do remember that. He's nowhere near Derek Queen. That's actually funny. No Maryland fan would say that Diamond Stone's freshman year was in any way comparable to the season and the impact that Derek Queen's having. right now. I think it's Joe Smith. I think it's, I mean, Melo understood, if we're just talking about the impact he had as a freshman, the shots he had, the scoring. Remember, it's probably his best offensive year. I don't have the stats in front of me, but the shooting ended up being a little bit more inconsistent the rest of the way. But Melo was great. Loved Melo Trimble. Loved watching him as a college player. Derek Queen is special, man. He's one of the most skilled big men, you know, that has come around in a while. One of the recent draft write-ups, mock draft write-ups, said Derek Queen's easily the most skilled big man in the draft and maybe in the last few years since Wembanyama. I'm not putting him in that class. No, trust me. He's not that kind of a player. He's a lottery pick. He's probably a back-end lottery pick, 10 to 15, somewhere in that range right now. But his skill level supersedes his athletic potential by a lot. That's not the kind of player he is. Remember at the beginning of the year when somebody referred to him as a baby Jokic? That's how he plays. He's not Jokic, but that's how he plays. Anyway.
With respect to Chris Wilcox, he started one game as a freshman.
Yeah, I mean, there's that's not even in Chris Wilcox's freshman year. Look, you could tell. I mean, you could tell with Gravis as a freshman that there was something special there. But in terms of the production, this is, you know, you got to go back. I think you got to go back to Melo in terms of production. What did Melo average as a freshman? He had to average like 18, right?
Yeah, it was probably close. Let me pull up his college stats. Because Derek Queen is averaging nearly a double-double.
Yeah.
Melo averaged 16.2.
16.2. What did he shoot from the three-point line? And then what did he shoot the rest of his career from the three-point line?
In his freshman season, he shot 41% from three.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
what a drop-off. He shot 31 the next 2 years.
31 and then 31. Yeah. His shooting, you know, it went... Stroke didn't change. He just didn't knock down as many shots. And, you know, I would say this is clearly their best team since 2020. That's not even debatable, right? The best overall team since 2020. Look, they were loaded in 2020. Let's not try to act like they didn't have a legit shot to make a deep run. They would have been a two or a three seed, to, you know, depending on what would have happened in the Big Ten tournament. I think they were a three seed going in, but sort of teetering, you know, between three and two. They were, you know, Big Ten regular season champs, and they had a team, man. I mean, they had a senior point guard who was an absolute clutch player in Anthony Cowan. They had Sticks, who was blowing up as a big guy who, you know, eventually went in the first round. They had Aaron Wiggins, who, by the way, has become a monster off the bench in Oklahoma City. Daryl Morsell was the defensive player of the year on that team. Wiggins, by the way, let's not forget, was coming off the bench on that team. They had Dante Scott as a freshman that year, who was a really good player, ended up having a really nice college career. Eric Ayala was a really strong playmaker off guard for that team. Who am I forgetting from that team? Wiggins came off the bench on that team and was huge that year. But this team's really, really good. We'll see. Long way to go. College basketball, one and done. Got to get it done in March. Nobody understands that more than some of the coaches that have been at Maryland recently, right? Really good, you know, coaches who in the regular season had some really good wins and good production, but not enough, you know, second weekend games. And that's at Maryland, you can't go out in the first weekend over and over and over again and get much love. And I understand that as a longtime Maryland fan. And I were just talking during the break about All-Star Weekend, and I told you I have zero interest in this. I talked about this at the beginning of the show yesterday. The fact that they have essentially now ditched any semblance of a game, an All-Star game, they're doing this four-team, you know, drafted tournament, which will include rising star players, which, you know, could include a G League team. Literally, whoever wins this mini tournament on Sunday could be a G League team. The fact that the players last year were urged to play the game with more seriousness and more competitiveness, and I'm talking about former players urged them, the commissioner urged them, and you had, you know, a half-court shooting contest during the game. It was so disrespectful and so selfish, you know, that they ditched it. You know, basically Adam Silver said, well, we can't play that game anymore. Nobody's interested in it. It's not good for the game. So they're doing this mini thing on Sunday. I have zero interest in that. I have zero interest in whatever happened Saturday night with three-point and dunk contest. But you said that in the dunk contest, like, there's nobody that's even a good player that's participating. So who's in it?
I would ask you to guess, but you would not in a thousand million years guess these players. So I'll go one by one here. We'll start in Chicago. I'm going to butcher this name. I apologize. Matas Bouzilis.
Is that the big white dude?
That is the big white dude.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He is averaging 6.4 points per game. Half an assist and 2.8 rebounds.
All right.
Next, we will go out to San Antonio. Stephon Castle, who is arguably the biggest name in terms of actual good players.
Because of what he did in college?
Because of what he did in college. But he's also averaging 12.9 points.
Is he?
Per game. 3.5 assists, 2.8 rebounds. Mm-hmm. Then to Milwaukee, Andre Jackson Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have much of a file there. 3.9 points, 1.5 assists, 3.2 rebounds. By the way, all of these, like, this is on, I'm reading this off of the NBA.com. That is important for this next person, right? So they're giving you the averages of the guys. The next person and the final person is Mac McClung, who has scored 0 points in the NBA.
He's not in the NBA, is he?
Well, he has 2 assists and 1 rebound. In the NBA. Everybody else has averages. He has legitimate standalone stats.
Hasn't he won it?
He is the 2-time defending champ.
Okay. All right. Wow.
If that doesn't get you fired
so
up,
they can't, for the dunk contest. Your point being they can't get any stars to participate in
they
this.
They can't
thing.
Get a single star. Like, they had Jaylen Brown last year, but right. he's a star, but not a must watch star. They can't get any superstar participation. It's a little better in the 3-point contest, but like really not that
much
better.
Do we have what's her face from Oregon?
So they nixed that. They're not
doing
Sabrina Ionescu. Right. They're not doing the Steph versus Ionescu. I believe what they were trying to do was maybe get Steph versus Caitlin Clark, but then Caitlin Clark said no.
Oh, that would have. See, I mean, the NBA's smart. That would actually draw a massive audience. Look, I don't know. I have no idea what these games and the All-Star Saturday night will do in terms of a TV rating. I know it's minuscule compared to things like football, understood. But is it, you know, is it a big draw? Will Saturday night be a big draw? Will Sunday be a big draw? I have no idea.
Saturday will probably do a couple million. We do have some Washington participation. Alex Saar is going to be in the Kia Skills Challenge.
Saar is?
Yes, saw it.
What about the Rising Stars game?
I would assume that he is.
Who is in the 3-point shooting contest?
The 3-point shooting contest is Jalen Brunson. That's a decent sized name. Darius Garland, who I don't know if he's a great 3-point shooter, but we'll go with it.
He can shoot.
Buddy Hield, Damian Lillard, Cade Cunningham, Tyler Hero, Cameron Johnson, Norman Powell.
Be funny if Lillard, you know, from the wings and from the top of the key, just backed it up as far as he could go to shoot three-pointers. Norman Powell, by the way, is having a hell of a season. He had 41 last night.
A couple Wizards in the Rising Challenge.
You see, like, what?
A couple of Wizards in the Rising Challenge as well. They're also doing that, like, 4-team bit. Uh-huh. So you'll see Mac McClung play in the G League section of the Rising Stars Challenge, all right?
Did Mac McClung... Did he go Georgetown to Texas Tech? Is that where he went? Was he in the national championship game against Virginia or not?
I think he was the year after. He started Georgetown.
After.
Yeah. I think he came to Texas Tech after they played in the championship.
who was the I'm pulling up the box score to see the Texas Tech players. Jared Culver.
Jared Culver was the No, Matt McClung was a couple years after. He played in Virginia. He played in Gate City, which is right outside of Radford, and he was like packing gyms out, which that is not a basketball area, as you can probably imagine, just based on the geographical location. So he was a great player in the state of Virginia, but he doesn't play in the NBA, and he's in the dunk contest for 3 years in a row. That's weird.
By the way, the Virginia point guard on that team, Ty Jerome, he's a good NBA player. Is he? He's on Cleveland, right?
I think so. One of them retired. Yeah, Ty Jerome is still playing. Kyle Guy, who was on the Kings, retired.
Oh, yeah. But Ty Jerome, I loved him as a college player. He's been a good NBA player. I'm pulling up his body. He's bounced around a little bit, but he's averaging 11.5 points per game this year for Cleveland.
I think that's more than he ever averaged in college.
I'm sorry?
That's more. That might be more than he ever averaged in college. You know, those boys didn't score a lot.
He was a playmaker, though.
That's also not true. He averaged 13 in college. My bad, Ty Jerome.
Yeah. Hit some big shots for them. All right. I'll get to this Aaron Schatz thing on Jaden Daniels next. So there's this story, long story, with a lot of weighing in on ESPN. It's one of those NFL experts ESPN pieces where everybody weighs in on a number of questions, like what's your early Super Bowl 60? That's what next year's Super Bowl will be pick. And it's amazing, man. Dan Graziano, Chiefs over Washington. Pamela Maldonado, I don't know who she is at ESPN. Cincinnati over Washington. Washington's a Super Bowl pick for some people next year. Next season's MVP, Graziano, Jaden Daniels. Moody, whoever Moody is, who's Moody? Eric Moody from ESPN, don't know who he is. Jaden Daniels. Somebody else, Jaden Daniels. Then you say they've got what's the one move you want to see this offseason? Matt Bowen, T. Higgins to Washington. Somebody else had T. Higgins to Washington. There's a segment called which team will take a step back in the 2025 season? We did this the other day with somebody from CBS Sports, who said Washington's among the teams that will take a step back. Well, Aaron Schatz, somebody we've had on the show many times, the DVOA inventor and creator, FTN Fantasy, also with ESPN, he said Washington, and he writes, when a team pulls off a magical run to the conference championship, despite not being one of the two or three best teams in the conference, you usually see a step back the following season. And when quarterbacks are as good as Jaden Daniels was as a rookie, they usually don't take the step forward that fans expect because they're already very good and there's not much room to improve. When I read that, I thought about that and I'm like, where would I expect Jaden Daniels to improve? I mean, That would mean that you'd have to identify an area that needs improving. I can't do that. What's the area in which Jaden Daniels needs to improve upon? I think that what really is the key and central offseason question isn't about where Jaden Daniels will improve, because he was elite at almost every single thing he did this year. He was an elite passer. He was an elite deep passer, an elite medium-level passer, an elite short passer. He was elite, in the pocket. He was elite outside the pocket. His mobility, obviously, top, top tier. We got boxes checked off in the clutch department, come from behind wins, last 2 minute wins over and over again. We checked the box on one and done games, two playoff games on the road, the Sunday night game against Atlanta, which was a rather big game. I mean, he checked every single box. The only box he hasn't checked is winning the whole thing. I understand that's insane to say after somebody's rookie year, but that's how good he was. I mean, seriously, where would you say he needs improvement? Where would you expect to say, oh, man, he got much better doing that than he was as a rookie? I mean, I guess maybe some of the decision-making on running, you know, getting down a little bit sooner, not taking as many shots. I still believe that the number one concern I had about Jaden Daniels coming out, and it wasn't a big concern, but it was the one thing that I was concerned about more than anything else, is his frame, the shots he took in the SEC, some of the plays he missed, some of the portions of games he missed, and what would that look like at the NFL level if he ends up being a true dual-threat quarterback versus being a guy that can do everything? Well, even for a guy that can do everything, he still had 148 rushes for 891 yards and took a lot of big shots. He also kept getting up with the exception of one game. You know, after that 50-yard run against Carolina, he didn't play the rest of the game. And then, you know, was he compromised moving forward? Not as much as most of you would think because of the results. No, the results were because they played Pittsburgh and Philadelphia in back-to-back games in 4 days. Like, I've said this a million times, but if he was compromised, you know, physically, then they were irresponsible as an organization running all the designed and option runs that they ran. I mean, his first game back, he had 8 rushes for 52 yards against Chicago. And there were plenty of zone reads called where he could have kept it. Against the Giants, 8 more carries in that game. Pittsburgh, not as much, but it's because of the way Pittsburgh played him. I mean, they were running designed runs into that Philadelphia defense. I mean, we don't need to relitigate that, but I still don't understand why some of you want to say, well, the only time that he didn't look good is when he was playing hurt. If he was legitimately playing hurt and they were running him as much as they were running him, that's malpractice. And I don't believe that they would have done that. And they said to you over and over again, no, he's fine. He wasn't even on the injury report for those last couple of games. And let's face it, he played great in a couple of those games. He was phenomenal against the Giants. It was his second highest QBR game of the season. And he was pretty damn good at times in that Pittsburgh game. And, of course, he threw the Hail Mary against Chicago. But where do you, where would be an area that you would say next year at some point, Denton, man, he really got better?
I don't know if it's him specifically, but I would love to see them prioritize deep shots a little bit more. You know, it was very clear in that game against Philadelphia they were going to beat them with 18-yard plays, which is great, but you do need to add a little bit of explosivity to the offense. But again, that could be personnel, that could be play calling, offensive line, but I would like to see them get more comfortable with him throwing the ball deep.
He completed 69% of his passes. We know that. He was 25-9. The analytics were off the charts with versus blitz, third down, et cetera. Expected, you know, all the EPA numbers, all of the advanced numbers spoke to this being, you know, one of the true historic seasons. To me, it's really the off season is about what you put around him to make the team better. You have him, you got that part figured out. The one area of emphasis is I would definitely, as a front office and as a coaching staff, say, do we really want him to be our leading rusher in 10 out of our 17 regular season games next year? Because I think that answer should be an emphatic no. Because why put him at that risk? You never, ever with Jaden Daniels want to take away the presentation of him being a dual-threat quarterback. It means so much to an offense, of course. I'm not saying he needs to run less. I'm just saying, does he really need to be the running game? You hope that they can improve upon that. Offensive line, backs, etc. Look, he could end up not improving at all, but having a much better season statistically, yards thrown, touchdowns, etc., because you improved the team. Starting on defense, where, hey, you got the ball more. You got the ball in better field position more often. You got the ball after takeaways more often. You know, those kinds of things would really help. But in terms of specific areas, that's a question, by the way, I'll ask Taylor Kelly the next time I have him on. You know, his quarterback coach. That would be, like, I wonder, I think the last time I asked him that was late in the season, maybe right before the Detroit playoff game. And I think his answer, Denton, was, you know, some of the decision-making, and I think he specifically said some of the decision-making on some of the option, the RPO and the zone read game stuff. So, and by the way, I talked about that a bunch, right? With, it seemed like he could have pulled it on that zone read, seemed like he should have given it on that zone read. You know, teams play it differently. You got to feel that, you know, as you're going through it, but when I read that from Aaron Schatz, I thought, you know, yeah, like, where does he improve? But that doesn't mean the team's not going to get better. All right, Jordan DeJani from CBS Sports next.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.